You know what? We want to talk a little bit tonight about just going over those gifts, the nine gifts of the Spirit that it shares in 1 Corinthians. But we know that there's probably in the New Testament, there's probably as many as about 27, possibly 29. And some of them are what we call motivational gifts. Some of them are ministry gifts. And those are the office of an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. Administration is part of that. But I want to share with you tonight, as we start out, we're looking at what we call, out of our nine gifts, we talked about word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning a spirit. That's kind of a something that's a revelation gift. That's something that God just gives you, and there's no way of working it up. You can't figure it out. It's something that God just brings to you like that. And then we've got those other gifts, those vocal gifts, which are the gift of tongues, which we talked about a few weeks ago, and then, of course, the interpretation of tongues, and then prophecy, which just is a wonderful gift to share with other people. There's nothing better, my friends, that especially when you're through a deep, deep time, a valley, that somebody comes up and speaks life to you from the Word of God, that God, by His Holy Spirit, shares something with you. So, a wonderful gift to ask the Lord. He says, desire spiritual gifts, and really that you may prophesy, that you may prophesy. So it's a wonderful gift there. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to talk about the power gifts tonight. That's really kind of the third branch of those nine gifts that we see there, the power gifts, which are really talking about miracles, talking about healing, and it also talks about special faith, not just believing faith that I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross, I accepted Him into my life. That is the common faith that God gives us to be saved. It's a saving faith. But there is a faith, a special faith that God gives to you, and those two, really, healing and faith, we're going to talk about. And all of those really intertwine so closely, so closely. In the book of Genesis, first chapter, first verse, it says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And let me tell you something. If you can believe that, then the rest of it is not hard to believe at all, isn't it? You can believe that God spoke it into existence. You know, just thinking of all those planets and all those just, I don't know, the atmosphere, the different heavens and all the different stars and all the different galaxies out there that are spinning around, that they're just thousands and thousands of light years away. Is it hard for us to believe that God can do miracles today? How many have ever really had God do a miracle? Yeah, I can see that. God do a miracle in your life. You know, I'm really convinced, my friends, that God does very personal miracles. And if you were to tell somebody else, they just go, okay. And maybe they wouldn't get real excited about it, but you and I both know God does miracles, and many times on a daily basis. How many have had that? Sometimes life just goes on, and you begin to start praying. You begin to start asking God for something, and a door opens, and you go, man, that's a miracle. Man, that just is supernatural that would happen. You know, one of the other miracles is seeing somebody's heart changed and some habits that you're into and things that take place in your life that you're moving in a bad direction. And overnight, there is a radical change. The Spirit of God comes and descends upon a person. And all of a sudden, that person changed. That is a miracle. That one day they're moving this way, the next they're moving towards godliness, walking in righteousness, walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. To me, it's a miracle. That God has reached down into your heart and changed you. It's not some facade. Well, I think I'll change. I'll start being a Christian. I'll start acting. It's not like that at all. You know that. He comes in your heart, and He wants to change us, and you want to change with Him. That's just the way it is. He puts that in your heart to do that. So I want to look at that tonight. Let's look at chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. They were just doing whatever they wanted to do with those rituals, with these dumb idols. He said, but you know what? Things are different now. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith to the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, and to another is working of miracles, and to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. So these are those nine gifts that we just talked about. You know, this is our final section that we're going to look at. I want to talk to you. It says, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings. And it's plural, my friends. It's kind of a debate to look at the different commentaries and why they say, why is that one plural? And the others are really talking about it. It was a couple of things. You know, one of them was really, each gift of healing that is sent forth by the Holy Spirit is a separate gift, and he does many of those. Others, possibly someone's gifted in one area of healing, then maybe more than another. So there was a lot of supposition. There was a lot of people voicing their opinion. So honestly, I don't know. Pastor John, you probably have looked at that yourself. You might have some insight that I don't. Maybe you can share that later. But to another faith, this is, of course, not saving faith, as we shared earlier, but a supernatural faith that's been imparted to the believer that enables them to have the ability to believe God for the impossible or for something they cannot see with their physical ability or natural understanding. This is a faith that you cannot work up, or because of your lack of faith. This is a faith that God plants in your heart that he is going to do something when nothing appears or nothing just in the physical domain that you could see that would ever happen. This is that mountain-moving faith that Jesus spoke about in Mark 11:23. The key, he says, have faith in God. For surely I say unto you that whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. I want to read you something that was a man of faith at one time. This man believed God, started out believing God for miracles. Situations would arise within his life that he had to care for all of these orphan children. God had laid it on his heart very early in his life to start an orphanage. And of course, he started out and children would come and be in his kitchen and they would all be praying. There was no food there. And as they prayed, knock at the door and it would be the milkman and his cart would break down, and then somebody with food and bread and things like that. And this man began to start living life of believing God on a daily basis for miracles. And if you read the story of George Mueller, you will see how God supernaturally intervened in his life and provided things and funds that far is just imagine. You can't believe it. Let me read you something that took place. Here he is, an old man. He's on his way on a journey to another really country, to another portion of the world, and some things are about to happen. This is the type of faith he has. This is somebody's diary, and he explains on what took place on a trip that he was taken. This probably is about 100 to 110 years ago, that this maybe more, maybe even more like 120 years ago. He said, a number of years ago, I went to America with a steamship captain who was very devoted Christian. When we were off the coast of Newfoundland, he said to me, the last time I sailed here was about 5 weeks ago. Something happened that revolutionized my entire Christian life. I had been on the bridge for 24 hours when George Mueller of Bristol, England, who was a passenger on board, came to me and said, "Captain, I need to tell you something. I must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon." "That is impossible," I replied. "Very well," Mueller responded. "If your ship cannot take me, God will find some other way. For I have never missed an engagement in 57 years. Let's go down to the chart room and pray." I looked at this man of God and thought to myself, what lunatic asylum did he escape from? I had never encountered someone like this. "Mr. Mueller," I said, "do you realize how dense the fog is?" He said, "No." "My eye is not on the dense fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life." He then knelt down and he prayed one of the most simple prayers I've ever heard. When he had finished, I started to pray, but he put his hand on my shoulder and told me not to pray. He said, "First, you don't believe God will answer. And second, I believe he has. Consequently, there's no need whatsoever for you to pray about it." As I looked at him, he said, "Captain, I've known my Lord for 57 years. There's never been a single day that I have failed to get audience with the King. Get up, Captain, and open the door, and you will see that the fog is gone." I got up, and indeed the fog was gone. And on Saturday afternoon, George Mueller was in Quebec for the meeting that he wanted to go to. You know, true story. God does miracles, my friend, and many times they're very personal for you and I. And sometimes he allows other people to see his hand working in life. I would encourage you as we get into our study tonight and look at some of this that God is working. Get a journal. Write down some of those things that God has done for you. And you know what? When a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years in your walk with the Lord passes by, and maybe you're going through a valley again. Maybe you're going through a trial again, or a time of faith that, man, it is being stretched far beyond what you can imagine. You'll look back at some of those times and remember what God has done for you. It's a wonderful thing. Well, first off, this kind of faith, God plants this in your heart. God is not going to give you something, nor is he going to plant anything in your heart that he does not want you to have. You know, there's a lot of crazy doctrines out there today, and if you turn the channel on television, you'll find people that bring all kinds of stuff for you to order. You can have whatever you want if you only believe. The best cross-reference verse for this verse is the text that brings balance into the things that we ask God. 1 John 5, let me read it to you. And this is when somebody shares with you out of the book of Mark and shares that text with you. You turn to this text because this is going to be the balance of it. 1 John 5, 14 through 15 says this. "Now this is the confidence that we have in him. I'm glad that wasn't me. I'm sorry." My wife told me right before I walked out, "You get your phone off." I said, "No, I don't." So anyway, sorry. "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything," listen, "according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him." So we're going to be asking things according to the will of God, aren't we? It's stupid. You know, I want that thing, or I want that. And God says, man, that's going to hurt you. That's going to harm you. That's going to take you down a trail. Sometimes, and we've had people here that say, you know what, I'm hoping I'm going to win the lotto. I'm going to win this contest. I'm going to win this thing. You know what? And get your eyes on the Lord. Begin to invest in his kingdom. Watch what he does. Just, you know, it's not sending in for the magic water. You seen that one yet? Little bottle of vial water that it takes care of all your bills if you get it, and people are testifying. Man, it's crazy. God's not going to give you something that's going to be harmful. For you, things might be, you know, just something that he loves you so much, you might go ahead and push on, but you might find it probably was not the best decision you've made. and it probably was not God's best for you. You ever discovered that? You ever just, you know, I got to have that. And there's just, man, you got to be in your bonnet. I'm going after, I got to have that. I'm going to make that change. There's things that I want. I'm going for it. And you spend no time in prayer. You never even ask the Lord. I'm not talking about going down and buying a new T-shirt or something like that. I'm talking about some substantial things within your life, some moves, some buying something that's of worth and substance, that we go ahead and we get something and we push ahead. And there might be just that nudge in our heart that the Holy Spirit is just kind of saying, you know what? Maybe you need to stop. Maybe there's a check there that the Lord just says, and I don't know. You're going to have that communication with the Lord yourself. That's part of waiting and listening and learning to wait on the Lord. I'll tell you, you are going to be a safe person when you begin to learn to wait on God. When you come, you bring things before His throne and say, God, is this what you have for me? Is this the place? Is this what you want me to do? Bring those things before His altar and say, God, would you work it? Those are miracles. He'll begin to open doors and shut other ones, or have you wait. I've discovered, you remember in the book of Isaiah, he said, those that wait on the Lord, they're going to renew your strength. That's how you're going to get strong in the Lord, as you begin to wait on Him. You're going to renew your strength. You're going to rise up, and God's going to do things in your life. You'll run and not be weary, walk and not faint. You know, some people can handle certain things, while others cannot. And sometimes those mistakes of getting ahead of the Lord, not waiting on Him, can really be costly. I just have to have that. Maybe that job, maybe that move, that house, that car. We might end up very, very unhappy. Learn to pray. Learn to wait on the Lord. Look to His guidance system for your life. You will never come up short, as I just shared. You know, I was applying for a city job one time. It was a different city job than the one that I had. I had stepped down from a position, and I thought I was good at it. And I had got ready for this new job. It was the city of Lakewood. I lived there. Man, I thought, man, I would love to not only live here, but work here. And had it, you know, the job that I had was okay. But man, grass looked greener on the other side. And man, I applied. I prepped for this. I had people come in that were professionals, and they prepped me with verbals, all my interviews and stuff like that. And we polished it, got everything down. Answers were absolutely, I thought, pretty impeccable. Polished apps. But it ended up, there were the top four. I was one of them. But the guy that spoke Spanish, he got it. He got it. But, you know, a number of years went by, and I was really bummed. God, man, I thought, man, that was us. We had it. You know, and but the Lord shut that door. About 4 years later, I was at an event, city of Lakewood. All the cities had come together. It was a good time. We learned safety things, and there was emergencies and stuff like that, how to cope with them. And I met that gentleman. I recognized him. He had gained a little weight since I had last seen him, and we began to talk. And I said, well, how's it going? You got that job, man. I applied for it. He said, listen to me. You were blessed by not getting that job. He said, that was the worst day of my life when I left the city job that I had and took this one. He said, my boss is a tyrant. He yells at me in front of other people. He does, and he began to tell me, he says, I live in a constant stress mode all the time. And he was very blunt and very open with me. I was just kind of going, hey, I hope your boss is not around here. And I mean, he said, I gained all this weight. You know, he just, all these, this guy went on. And he let me know, and man, I walked out of there that day with kind of a pep in my step. I said, praise God. And you knew, Lord. You knew. And you know what? It was just a wonderful thing to recognize and know that God is running our life. He does those miracles. He shuts those doors. He protects us. You know, I remember back when I first applied for the city of Bellflower back, you know, 40 years ago. Man, such an assurance, that faith in my heart. And all these people were lined up applying. Man, I knew that God had given me that job. It was one of those special faith times. You ever had that? That you know, that you know, that you know that He's in charge, that He's running the things in your life, and He speaks to your heart and says, I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to do that for you. And you can, you're not striving anymore. You're resting in it, man. You are resting in what God does. God begins to plant those things in our heart. You might not see anything, and it could possibly, you know, how could that ever happen? Many times before it happens, it might even look worse and moving in the wrong direction before it arrives. But God puts that there. Hebrews 11 tells us in the faith chapter of the Bible, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made with the things that are visible." Basically, my friend, it is confident expectation. Confident that God is going to provide that. He's going to open doors. He's going to make that happen just like he spoke the world into existence. This is something God plants, giving you that type of promise, and you can absolutely have confidence and take it to the bank that he's going to do it. That is moving, mountain-moving faith. God puts the promise there by his word, and you know that he's going to do it. There are many general promises that we can be assured from him and his word, but this is something that God does, and he makes it happen. And later on, you just know that he's going to do it, and people will speak. Now, that can never happen for you. But he does. It's those miracles, those little ones that he does in your life. It's big for you. And other people will just say, oh, that just happened. But you know it was him. And you know it's a miracle. You know, the bottle of spring water, I put it here. You know, rack up your credit card and send for the water and sprinkle it around the house and voila, the debt is paid. That's crazy. That's insane. You know, in Genesis and in Hebrews, Genesis by faith, that was in 11:8 of the book of Hebrews, but in Genesis it talks about, by faith Abraham obeyed God when he was called to go out to a place that he would receive an inheritance. And as he went out, not knowing where he was going, God said, I'm going to show you when you get there a city whose builder and maker is God. There are times that God will have you step out. Many times you will not see the finished result. Especially when things are going so well. Might be change of a job. Might be something of another place. God wants you. Philip discovered that God was using him in a mighty way in the city of Samaritan. He was doing miracles and signs and wonders, and people were just getting saved by the thousands there. And all of a sudden, God comes knocking on his door and says, go down to Gaza. Got something for you to do there. And here's a man that everybody else would say, you're crazy. Why would you leave that ministry? You've got it made here, man. You're popular. God's raised you up. You're doing a mighty work. Why would you leave? But God told him to. And he's heading down to Gaza. And it's for one person, my friend. It's for one person. It's an Ethiopian eunuch. Runs up beside the chariot. Listens to him speaking and talking about the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. And he begins to share with him, baptizes him, and a miracle happens. There's Philip. He goes to Azotha, and he ends up being translated. How he gets there, I don't know, but it's a miracle. And then he goes on to Caesarea, which is really the place that he settles down, raises a family, and has these daughters that are prophets to the Lord. Acts 8:26, as the Lord spoke to him, he did those things. Remember in the Old Testament, Elijah, that was in 1 Kings 17, Elijah went to Ahab the king, and after God spoke to him, God told Ahab, no rain, no dew, except my word, and God told him to go to a brook, Cherith. And the Bible says, you will drink from the brook. And he went and did according to the word of the Lord and stayed in the brook Cherith, which flows to the Jordan. And ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook, and there was no rain in the land. And every day that happened until it was time to move. And God told him when that would happen as well. He didn't know how long he'd be there, but he knew that God's promise was sure and God would provide for him. That is special faith. That is something that God plants in your heart. I'm going to do this. Trust me. Sometimes God speaks to your heart something he's going to do. You can't see it, that special faith. I want to talk with you for a few minutes about God's healing. God's healing. We've seen that tonight. I've experienced God's healing. And many of you have experienced. I believe that there are people here tonight, emotionally, physically, maybe just spiritually, and you need a healing from the Lord. Jesus Christ came and redeemed us, my friend. Body, soul, spirit, he's come and redeemed us and brought us to himself. Notice it says plural. There are different gifts, and it would appear it would operate that way. But the book of Acts 28:7, we know that the Apostle Paul had this gift. Remember when he landed in Malta, and he was able to lay hands on the sick governor's father and see him healed? And it happened that the father of Publius laid sick of a fever and dysentery, and Paul went to him. He prayed, and he laid his hands on him, and he healed him. And the rest of those in the island, check this out, the rest of the island got word of this, and they come up, and he healed all their diseases as well. But we know also that there are certain disciples that accompanied Paul, and they went different places with him. And some got very sick. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4:20, Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus, I have left in Miletus sick. It appears that Paul could not heal him. That is something that you and I don't have any control over. Healing is something that's, it's something that we don't have. It's absolutely the sovereign will of God. We don't know if he's going to heal or not, but I'll tell you something, we need to pray anyway. A lot of times you will walk out of here on a Sunday or a Wednesday night and you need God's healing touch upon your life. He has some things that he tells us how we can pray for people right out of the Word of God. There are different methods God uses in the Bible to heal people. It says one of them is pray for yourself. James 5:13. Is any sick or afflicted? The word is afflicted there, but it really, really signifies sickness. Let him pray. So that's something that we can start out with. Begin to pray for yourself. Say, Lord, would you touch me? It says, ask somebody else to pray for you. James 5:16, pray one for another that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man avails much. So you can ask somebody else to pray for you as well. It also says, call for the elders of the church. James 5, 14 through 16. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they will be forgiven. By laying hands on, really, these were signs shall follow those that believe. You remember the book of Mark? It said, laying hands on him. These signs shall follow those that believe. And laying hands on the sick was one of them. And that was for the believer. It wasn't just the apostles. And it wasn't just for prophets. Jesus laid his hands on sick people. And many times there were, and it really doesn't talk about anointing oil that he did that. He just laid hands on them. And they were healed. Special miracles, check this out, through handkerchiefs and aprons that these disciples had. Paul had them. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs, aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. It was just kind of a point of contact that God used. They take that. People do it today. You see it on television. Hey, we're going to send this prayer cloth out to you, and you put it on your body or put it in your bed, and God will touch you. I've heard people that's happened to them, you know, but it's people use that as a gimmick. Be aware of that, my friends. Come up here. Come up here. We'll pray for you. God has called us in this body. We'll pray for you. We care for you. We want to see you healed. We really do. There are times that God, by his supernatural ability, will give you faith to believe him, just like Peter and John did, lifting the beggar up at the gate. Beautiful. Acts 3:1 says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms, and fixing his eyes on them, and with Peter, John, said, "Look on us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with walking and leaping and praising God. Radical change, miracle had taken place. Faith to lift him up took place there. And of course, healing took place. So you see all three of those. Pastor Chuck Smith was down in Arizona with his son, Chuck Jr., one night. And an individual was wheeled up by his children. Whole family was there, and dad was being wheeled up in a wheelchair. And Chuck came down, and they said, "Would you pray for our dad?" He laid hands on him, and as he was there praying for him, God spoke to his heart and gave him. And he says, "I've prayed to God for years to give me that gift of healing. And God has spoken to my heart, that's not for you, but you can continue to pray." And God's used Chuck many times to pray for people, and people were raised up. But this particular time, he grabbed that person, and he said, "I just felt so compelled to lift him out of that wheelchair." And he says, "I lifted him up." And he began to walk. He walked back and forth. And he said the kids began to start practically doing somersaults. They were so blown away by this. And Chuck was looking at them and looking at this man, and he began to run back and forth. And they came up, and he said, "Well, what's going on? You know, this is cool. This happened." And, man, they were just blown away. He said, "We brought our dad up for you to pray for his cold. He's been in that 5 years." And Chuck just goes, "Wow." Now, the interesting part about it is next week he was praying in a different place, and a man brought his wife up in a wheelchair. And he prayed for her and touched her, patted her on the shoulder, and husband turned her around and wheeled her off. She wasn't lifted up. He said, "I prayed and I asked God, give me that exact same prayer that I prayed the week before." He said, "I thought with my mind, I racked it. I wanted to pray exactly the way I did before, but nothing happened." And Chuck Jr., his son, came up to him. He says, "Dad, why didn't you do what you did last week?" And he says, "Because God didn't give me the faith to do it." You see, that kind of faith, healing, miracles, and special faith originates from God, my friend. It's a wonderful thing to have faith. And having no faith, remember, Jesus could not do many mighty miracles when he went to Nazareth, his own city. And that's no faith. But there are times that God plants that faith. It's the one. It originates from him. It comes from him, my friend. We can't work it up. We can't conjure it up. It's God that does it. A great reformer, Martin Luther, you know who he is, prayed for his friend and helper, a minister, a superintendent of the college. And Luther wrote this person, and he says this. He says, "He must not die. May God not let me hear so long as I live that you are dead, but cause you to survive me. I pray this earnestly and will have it granted to me. My will be granted herein. Amen." This man, the superintendent, read about this letter. He said, "I was horrified," said the superintendent, "when I read what this man had really written." And he said, "You know what? It was almost as if Christ were saying to me, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" And he recovered and he outlived Luther. We don't know why some people are healed and why others are not. God is sovereign. There's all kinds of stuff. Disobedience, sin, who knows, unbelief. But I'll tell you something, my friend, you know, God uses it all. And you and I are going to go through things in our life. We're going to go through sicknesses. We've both went through different things. And I'll tell you, God uses it. He just does. And he gets us through it. And sometimes people, our friends, our loved ones, people from this church, there are people that we've done funerals for. Pastor John has done so many funerals in here of people that we love, godly people, and they've left way, it seemed, too early. But our life and our times are in his hands. He knows the moment that we will leave this earth, my friend. And it's a wonderful thing. We can trust the Lord. We can commit ourselves to him. But he does tell us to come. And I shared with you those areas that we need to pray and ask God's help for. We can do that. So I've run out of time tonight. Peggy, why don't you come on up? We're going to pray. How many here need a touch from the Lord? Man, you just, I'm sick. I'm afflicted. There's things in my life. Man, I need God to touch me. Maybe emotionally, physically, spiritually. I need God to heal me. I want to be healed. I'll tell you, tonight is your night. I believe it. I believe that God wants to do some healing tonight. He wants to touch some people. He wants to touch some people. I want to share with you. You're here tonight. There's somebody that's here tonight. There is something from your past that keeps haunting you. Let it go, my friend. Let it go. God, would you touch that person and that thing that's just haunting them from the past? I pray, and we just put it under the blood of Jesus. You move forward in the victory that God has given you tonight. He wants to bless your life. You move forward in what he has for you. Father, we ask your blessing, your touch. Would you just continue to move in the area that you want to do in healing? Would you touch and strengthen us? Would you give us faith, Lord, to believe you? If God's touching you tonight, maybe even sharing a scripture. Remember, we talked a little bit about prophecy last week. Wonderful time to wait on the Lord and ask him to, God, would you give me something that I can give the rest of this body, that I can share something with him, maybe even a scripture that God might be placing on your heart.